this concept of gratitude, you know, we tend to, in culture, from my observation, we see gratitude as a type of medicine that we like apply to our negative feelings. So we don't really think about it unless we're having a hard time. And we use it to go like, wow, I failed here, or I'm feeling bad today, but at least I've got X, Y, and Z going for me. While there's nothing really wrong with that, I feel like just people have been asking about gratitude a lot recently, so I've been thinking about it more. And I feel like in some ways that might shortchange the like breadth of what gratitude has to offer, right? Because if you're only using it to minimize negativity, it's almost in some way a form of toxic positivity, where you're like, you're not really embracing the state that you're at, like the challenges that you're at. You're just looking to like not feel them as much, which that's all right. You know, it's good to bring balance back, but the issue is that then it takes away gratitude on the daily basis and makes it this thing that's only applied to bring balance to, you know, whenever you're feeling out of whack. And so what I've been thinking about is kind of drilling down a little bit. I know it's shocking, but I've been thinking more deeply about this and like, how can we look deeper into the root of what gratitude is, why it's useful, and so forth. And so I started thinking about it. I'm like, all right, well, what's like the root core of a daily gratitude that I could just tap into in the present moment and stay there with it consistently, right? And that's, for me, I imagine that everyone's experience will vary depending on who they are, but for me, it's just a matter of like the fact that I'm awake, that I'm here in this moment of time and aware of it right now is endlessly mind-blowing to me. And I can't really ask for much more of that. And all of the good and bad things that happen in life, those are all downstream of the fact that we get to experience those things at all. So it's quite interesting to consider gratitude from that point of view, as opposed to like a salve to be applied to emotional wounds. And I think that if you focus on it like that, what will happen is that you create a foundation of gratitude where then whenever you do run into one of those challenging moments where you would normally apply gratitude to them, you already have this foundation that makes you stronger from the get-go, so that you don't really need to apply it to them as much, because when that negative thing happens, you're like, it becomes just sort of more sand blowing across the infinite cosmic beach of self, as it were. So what I was thinking about was a inner development path situation. And this situation is something that I think that we sometimes have trouble overcoming. And it's again, it's kind of like this nebulous thing that's hard to identify. So I'm going to try and put it into language to make it easier to identify and easier for you to work with it when it comes. So, you know, as we are going inward and refining the cavern of the self, spelunking down into our being on a cable, chipping away at the stalagmites and so forth, seeing what kind of precious stones and crystals we'll find within ourselves, and what type of tar and nastiness we might need to chunk back out the hole from where we came in. As we're doing that, that's a fancy way for just saying, you know, as we're trying to understand ourselves more deeply and we're moving through life, all we have is our intuition. And I think it's important to remember that our intuition isn't always right, but it's the best type of compass that we have. So we might have this map that we're using to walk through a forest, and it's the best chances that we have at getting to where we're wanting to go is by following this map and following the trails that go through this forest that are written on the map. Now, let's say there was a mudslide and some trees fell over and it messed up the part of the trails, although that, you know, we may have to kind of use the map to triangulate and guess what the best direction is going to be, it's still better than having no map at all. And that's kind of what our intuition is like. It's not always right, but it's the best guess and approximation we can make about what we need to do next. And so on the inner path, we follow the intuition of like, okay, I need to focus on this, or this feeling arise, I need to work with that. Or perhaps my, you know, this, whatever this emotional thing arised, and I need to watch for that. Maybe I'm being reactionary in certain situations. I should start focusing on that. Or if you're in another dimension of doing, you know, in the same area, then you are meditating and you're like, okay, I'm going to focus on zooming out and seeing the self and identity and all of the contents of my consciousness from a deeper stage of awareness so I can understand the symbols and the meanings and the habits of who I am from a distance, therefore gaining control and more power over the outside circumstances that have defined us into certain characteristics of who we are over time. And we always listen to what feels right in those situations, at least as best we can. Sometimes we overthink it, sometimes we don't trust ourselves, but in general, try and do what feels right, and I hope that you do that yourself. I certainly do that. And the issue is that it takes us quite a ways. But at the same time, as we're following our intuition, we are growing, right? So think about those jump-off points whenever we have a certain insight or a general awareness of where we want to point our focus within ourselves. That insight is time-stamped at that moment in time of who you are and the moment you had that experience. Like the when, where, and how you had that insight, it's locked into that frame and that level of who you are at that time. And then we hold on to that insight or that goal for self over a period of time as we're working on it. And generally, that insight or that whatever it is, that goal doesn't change because it becomes a solid premise of a question or something that we're seeking in that moment. But as we go through our life, and it can be, you know, a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, a couple of years, however long it is that we're just having that goal in the back of our mind, we're growing that entire time. So what happens? Well, what happens is that, now that I've given you a few seconds to think it over, what happens is that we get at odds with ourselves because the questions and the goals that we're seeking from the past start to contradict who we have become and who we've grown into in the present moment as we've been seeking those goals. So what that means is that we'll grow into a certain character and just continue to ripen and mature. And then that insight or that goal that we have in our mind doesn't feel particularly right anymore. We don't feel energized. And it might even seem wrong. It might seem like off. But yet, because it was something we intuited from a while back, and at the time that we intuited it, it was, you know, a breakthrough, we don't want to throw it away. So we're like, oh man, well, I got this thing that blew my mind, you know, let's say 6 weeks ago, and I don't want to ditch it because it was a precious jewel I excavated while I was spelunking into myself, you know? I don't know why. This is the most I've said spelunking in the last This podcast has a high spelunk per minute rate. Let's put it that way. Fun word to say. You should try it. Try saying it out loud. It's like your mouth hits a road bump or something. And anyway, you have this precious gem that you're like, oh, this was the insight. This is something I've been carrying. But now it doesn't feel so right. And we don't want to discard those things because we become attached to them as parts of our identity, as parts of like what we assume is the wisdom of self. And so what happens is that we, other than just kind of put them sort of in the background, we try and kind of, you know, half-heartedly work at them a little bit. Maybe we try and tweak it a little bit. But at any rate, we often feel sort of bad about it. Because we can either feel dumb for having held that insight close in the first place, or we can feel like we're not giving our own insight and journey and path the proper respect, and that we're devaluing it a little bit by just sort of laying it down. And so how to solve this is to, of course, take your insights seriously and take them sincerely, but don't become attached to them. Like those blasts of awareness and inner knowing that we have, they're very organic. Right? So we try to make them material. We try to make them like plaques or trophies to put on the wall. And then later we'll come back and say, hey, remember, everyone, look at this shiny trophy. I can tell you about this insight I had. Isn't it impressive? Isn't it impressive to me that I had it? Isn't it adding to the story of who I am so that I feel like I have more substance? Those things are all quite natural, but we get attached to them because of that. But if we look at them as non-material objects, those insights just as thoughts that are growing, flowing, and going away, rising and falling, it's just like our breath. If you try and hold on to one breath for 6 weeks, it's not going to feel good. And it's just not going to work. It doesn't make any sense. Right? And so our thoughts and our insights are the same way. They come, they hang around for a while, and then they go. And we can use them as kind of bricks in our path. But the important thing about them being bricks in our path, that metaphor, is that they stay where we hammered them into our path, into the ground. We don't carry them with us. And as we continue on our path, we can look back and say, oh yeah, I remember this thing that I experienced. I mean, I do this all the time. I remember this thing that I experienced. It was useful to me because of X. And it doesn't mean that I still agree with my perspective at that time. I'm like a different person. But it was useful at that time, and therefore it fits into the big picture, right? But it doesn't dictate the big picture. It doesn't force me to stay stuck in that way of thinking, and at odds with myself, and unable to continue to grow because I'm still attached to the romanticism over this particular insight. And those things become, you know, quite specifically useful for other people who are following up behind you. Kind of like spelunking. You get, you know, you're in the cave, and you've got someone putting in the metal clamps into the rock that you can run the cable through so that whoever's coming after you has a secure place to go down. Kind of like that. So to wrap this up a little bit, you know, we can get attached to our own insights. And as we grow, we can outgrow our own insights as we're holding on to them. And then we feel internal conflict because we're like, oh, well, I don't necessarily, that doesn't make sense to me right now, but that seems so mind-blowing at the time. What do I do? Do I just stop here and remain in traction, like in stuck in, you know, paralysis? Or can you look at that insight for what it was, understand that perhaps its purpose was to simply get you from where you were 6 weeks ago to where you are today, that it doesn't need solving, it doesn't need further attention, it was just a vehicle for a moment through time. And that there's nothing wrong with letting it change, letting it go, continuing to search, and not identifying with it anymore, because if that's true, that means the insight did what it needed to do. It did what it was trying to do. It made you grow. But the important part of that is not adding it to your trophy case, becoming attached to it, and letting one insight keep you from getting the next one.